6:30 a.m., the sun rises with all of its brilliant shades of red and orange and yellow in the sky. You open your eyes, and all you see is darkness. 12 noon, the sun is directly overhead. It's shining ever so brightly. You feel the heat of the sun's rays, but still you see nothing but black. 8:20 p.m., the sun has set, and the world is enveloped with shades of gray. And soon it will be midnight, and the earth will be plunged into even greater darkness still. And as men and women and boys and girls settle into bed and fall asleep, they experience darkness much like you experience every day, at every hour of the day. The next morning, the world wakes up to a brand new day with bright sunshine and blue skies, with green grass, with yellow flowers. All that you wake up to is blackness and gloom. You hear with your ears the birds chirping. You hear the wind rustling through the leaves of the trees. You hear familiar voices, people talking and people laughing, children screaming in delight or children screaming in disgust. You hear babies crying. You hear it all, but you see nothing. Whether your eyelids are opened or whether they're closed, the world is veiled to your sight. You see nothing but black today, just as you saw nothing but black yesterday. And just as tomorrow and the next day, you'll see nothing but black. You are blind. Your eyes do not work. You have no hope for recovery. The doctors can do nothing to make you see. You are trapped in a world of gloom from which it is impossible for you to escape. You have no job. You have very little money. You barely have enough to eat. You survive only because others have pity upon you. Such is your life as a blind man in the days of the first century AD. Now for us, this is what we'd call an imaginary or a hypothetical story. This is a story that we probably have very much difficulty identifying with. But this was real life for a man named Bartimaeus. But yet everything would suddenly change on a day when Jesus passed by on the road where Bartimaeus sat begging for money. Would you like to find out how Bartimaeus' life changed forever whenever Jesus walked by that day as Bartimaeus was sitting on the roadside begging? If you would like to find out how Bartimaeus' life was changed, I invite you to turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's page 1166. And we're introduced in this passage to Bartimaeus. We find in the very first verse that he has a great problem, a real need. And as we read in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Now before we focus on this great need that Bartimaeus had, let's remind ourselves of the context of the previous verses and what was going on before this time. Now for some time we have Jesus and his disciples journeying on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus time and time again has told his disciples what was awaiting him in Jerusalem. Jesus would be betrayed. He would be condemned to death. Jesus would be treated in the worst possible way. He would be turned over to the Gentiles to be killed. Jesus would die, and then on the third day, he would rise again. And Jesus and the disciples, at one time, they were far away from Jerusalem. And as they were far away from Jerusalem, perhaps the disciples were entertaining a hope in their minds. Maybe things would change. Maybe things would turn out differently than what Jesus predicted. But Jesus steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. And as they drew nearer to Jerusalem, mile after mile after mile, closer to Jerusalem, any hope that they may have entertained that things would turn out differently, those hopes grew fainter and fainter. And now they arrive in the city of Jericho, less than 20 miles from the capital city. In fact, this is the last city before they come to Jerusalem. And from Jericho, it's a 17-mile road that steadily climbs upward to the holy city, covering some 3,500 feet and climbing in elevation. So we think of Jericho and Jerusalem. Here we have a map of the Holy Land. You see the blue arrow, Jericho. You see the yellow arrow, which is Jerusalem. And you see a line between the two, which is the road leading from Jericho to Jerusalem. Jericho sits some 825 feet below sea level. Jerusalem sits very prominently much higher. Now, you hear that name Jericho, and what comes to your mind? You probably are familiar with that name Jericho because it has quite the history. You may remember how the Israelites, as they are just outside the promised land, they send two spies to spy out the land, and they spy out specifically Jericho. And what happens to those spies there? Well, we know the story. I'm not going to fill in all the back history there. But eventually what happens to Jericho? The Israelites march around it. The walls come tumbling down, crashing down, and Jericho is destroyed. And it's at this time that Jericho pronounces a curse upon the man who would rebuild the city of Jericho. He said the one who dared rebuild the city would lay its foundation with the loss of his firstborn son. He would set up the gates of Jericho with the loss of his youngest son. Now, sometime after the destruction of Jericho, during the days of wicked King Ahab, we have a man named Hiel, the Bethelite, who rebuilt the city. As he rebuilt that city, he experienced the death of both his firstborn and his youngest son. Now, by Jesus' time, the city Jericho had been moved to a different location, just a mile or so south of the old city. The old city now was basically abandoned. The new city had become quite notable because of the construction projects of Herod the Great. And Mark tells us that Jesus and the disciples arrive at Jericho. What they did in Jericho, we don't know. Did they just pass through? Mark is silent about the activities there in Jericho. But what happens as they leave Jericho is quite notable. It's incredible because we have Jesus and his disciples and a great number of others leaving Jericho on the road to Jerusalem. And some of the followers of Jesus would have been Jesus' close friends and companions. But others probably were following Jesus because they were just going to a common destination, Jerusalem, because the Passover was coming. And so we have thousands upon thousands of Jews on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. And as they leave the environs of Jericho, we have Jesus and these others meeting a blind man. His name is Bartimaeus. He's the son of a certain Timaeus. And this man had positioned himself in a place where he could ask alms of those who passed by. Think of this. This man, Bartimaeus, is blind. He doesn't have a job like ordinary folks would have. And so this man's food, his clothing, all of his other needs were met by whatever money was given to him by those who had passed by as he begged. In Jesus' day, realized there was no social security, there is no disability insurance. For people like Bartimaeus, maybe some blind individuals had family that took care of them well, but for many of them, they had to fend for themselves. And it was a common sight in those days to see blind beggars by the wayside or at the gates of the cities asking for money. There'd be others who were lame or had other disabilities. They'd be sitting and asking for money. And I can't even imagine what it would have been like to be Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside there begging for money. You know, it'd be hard enough to live day by day by day, not being able to see anything, to have total darkness. That'd be hard enough. But how much harder would it be to have no sight and then have the humiliation and the uncertainty every day you had to sit and beg for money? Every day you eked out your existence from the money that people gave you. There's no doubt Bartimaeus had a very great need. Bartimaeus would admit very readily, I have a great need. Bartimaeus didn't have this false notion about his position in life. He didn't say everything is okay, because obviously everything was not okay. He was in a hard place. He couldn't live unless other people gave him money. It was on a day, perhaps like any other day, although it was slightly different because of increased traffic. Maybe Bartimaeus was getting more money than normal. because you have the increased traffic of people going to Jerusalem. So perhaps Bartimaeus was in better spirits than normal because more coins were being tossed to him. But it was basically an ordinary day. But there was something that Bartimaeus heard on this special day that made this day so much better than any other day, and that we read in verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now the Passover was coming quickly, and Bartimaeus was accustomed to more traffic on the road, but he heard from some of the passers-by, no doubt, that Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. That's what you know, there's something special here. And Bartimaeus knew that he was presented with a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, maybe on a normal day, when Bartimaeus was sitting on the roadside begging for money, maybe he was quite quiet. He was rather silent. Maybe he would quietly voice his thanks or utter a blessing to those who tossed a coin or two to him. But whenever he heard that Jesus was nearby, it seems as if his demeanor completely changes, his behavior changes as well, because he began to shout out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me! Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me!" And I don't think he just said it once or twice. He didn't call out just once or twice. I think it was time after time after time. He heard about the things that Jesus had done. I imagine people had told him how Jesus had healed the lame and how he had healed the lepers and the dumb and he had cast out demons and even he had healed the blind on occasions. And Jesus had raised the dead to life. And here is Bartimaeus, and he could have used any number of titles to address Jesus. He could have called out teacher or master or prophet or rabbi. But yet Bartimaeus chose the title Son of David. I believe Bartimaeus recognized in Jesus that Jesus is the one who fulfilled the long-ago promise to David that there would be one who would sit on the throne over Israel. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 7, as we think of this title, Son of David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 11 through 16, we have these words given to David, and we read this, "And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house." So this is what David, the king over Israel, the second king over Israel, this is what the Lord told David. The Lord said, "I will make of you a house. And when your days are fulfilled, you will sleep with your fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for thy name, for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Now, David did have a son whose name was Solomon, and then Solomon had a son, and there was a long progression of kings. But now in Jesus' day, there was no rightful descendant of David sitting on the throne. But Bartimaeus recognized in Jesus, the son of David, who was the king. I believe Bartimaeus recognized Jesus as the promised one, this one who would be known as the Messiah. And it is this one whom Bartimaeus called the son of David. Bartimaeus believed this one could show mercy upon him and heal him of his blindness. This is something that no other king in history could do. But yet here is Jesus. And Bartimaeus was sure that as son of David, and much more than the son of David, he would be able to heal him. So this poor blind man, Bartimaeus hadn't seen light for any number of days or years. He cried out for mercy to Jesus. Bartimaeus knew that he didn't have anything to offer in return. Bartimaeus knew that he was poor. He was disabled. He was in need. But Jesus could help him. But Jesus would only help him as an act of his mercy. It'd be a gift of kindness if Jesus did anything for him, because Bartimaeus had nothing to offer. Bartimaeus had a great need. A need that no human on earth could alleviate. No human that's a natural human, that is. as far as a human born by natural means or conceived by natural means. But as Jesus walked by, Bartimaeus called out for mercy. And we can continue reading in verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now remember, in Jesus' day, it was a common sight to see beggars, whether it be blind beggars or lame beggars or beggars that are disabled by some other reason. And so, as you walked by the road or through the streets, you'd see beggars, and sometimes you'd throw them a coin or two, but a lot of times you'd just pass by, perhaps, thinking nothing of the beggars because you saw them all the time. You know, it's perhaps somewhat similar to us as we drive by the road and we see people holding signs. Those who followed Jesus were not impressed by Bartimaeus' calls. Yes, Bartimaeus was probably screaming out, "Have mercy." He probably was using the full capacity of his lungs, crying out for mercy to Jesus. But it seems as if those who were with Jesus, they weren't having any sense of compassion upon Bartimaeus. Rather, they were annoyed by Bartimaeus' continual calling out for help. Perhaps they were thinking, these people who were with Jesus, perhaps they were thinking, doesn't this man, this blind man, doesn't he know Jesus is important? That he's on a mission? That he doesn't have time to stop and talk with you, Bartimaeus? So with Jesus setting out for Jerusalem and people following him, we have these people reprimanding the beggar. They're telling him, "Be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. Don't bother us." Now, some people may have quietly acquiesced to such a demand. Some people may have cowered under that pressure of people telling you, "Be quiet." Many would have sheepishly shut their mouths, but not so with Bartimaeus. The people told Bartimaeus, "Be quiet. Shut your mouth." And what did Bartimaeus do? He cried out all the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." If the people were annoyed at first, how much more annoyed would they be now? Bartimaeus was not one to give up. He cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus was persistent, even in the face of pressure. He knew he had a need that only Jesus could meet. And Jesus was passing by at this very moment. He must do all he can to get Jesus' attention. He must cry out time after time for mercy. Now the people thought Jesus had no time for a blind man, but Jesus thought something far differently, as we read in verses 49 and 50. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. So in spite of all the calls for Bartimaeus to be quiet, the persistent cries of Bartimaeus reached the ears of Jesus. Jesus heard Bartimaeus' cries for mercy, his cries for help. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. His face was set steadfastly to Jerusalem in what he awaited there. But Jesus was not so determined to reach his destination that he would overlook this blind beggar. So Jesus stopped and he called for Bartimaeus to be brought to him. Now perhaps it was some of those same people that said to Bartimaeus, "You need to be quiet," then now said to Bartimaeus, "Cheer up, everything is okay. Jesus is calling you to come to him. All is well." You know, if you were Bartimaeus, would your heart leap? Would you all of a sudden have this sense of wonderful joy? What hope, what encouragement Bartimaeus now had. And he threw his garment aside, he got up, he went to Jesus. And for us, we think, well, that's normal, right? Who wouldn't throw their garment away and go to Jesus? But think about Bartimaeus. He's a blind beggar. He has very little to hold on to here. He doesn't have many possessions. So whenever Bartimaeus cast away that cloak, remember, it's that cloak that probably kept him warm at night. Very possibly it was that cloak that he had spread out before him that people were tossing coins on. Possibly, we don't know for sure. But whenever Jesus called for Bartimaeus, what did he do? He left everything behind and he went to Jesus. He left that cloak and maybe all the money that was on that cloak. But what does that matter? What does the cloak matter? What does the money matter now that Jesus had called him? even if Bartimaeus had gotten a greater donation because of the coming Passover, all that mattered to Bartimaeus was, Jesus has called me. I need to get to him as quickly as possible. Jesus is able to help me. And so we read in verses 51 and 52, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, do you think Jesus really needed to know what Bartimaeus needed? Do you think he was really wondering what was the problem with Bartimaeus? He knew beyond any doubt, and most people, everybody could see what Bartimaeus needed. But Jesus wanted to hear from this blind man's mouth, from his own mouth, what he wanted from Jesus. Now, Bartimaeus was not a shy man. He was very straightforward, and he said simply, Lord, that I might receive my sight. That word, Lord, is the word Rabboni, which could be translated my master or my rabbi. And here's Bartimaeus calling Jesus my master. Bartimaeus asking his master to give him the gift of sight. Now, there's no ordinary man or woman that could grant such a request. There's no king or emperor that could grant that request. But Jesus was no ordinary man. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of David. He is the incarnate Son of God. Bartimaeus asked, Lord, I want my sight. Jesus responds, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Go your way. You have been saved by trusting in me. See, Bartimaeus had faith. He genuinely believed that Jesus could give him his sight. And he was persistent in calling out for help. And it was his faith in Jesus. Jesus, the incarnate Son of God. It was that faith that brought Bartimaeus from a world of darkness to a world of light. Of course, it's Jesus, he's the one that healed him. But yet it was because Bartimaeus believed in Jesus that Bartimaeus was saved from physical darkness. Now I wonder, as I look at this passage, as many others have wondered, was Bartimaeus only plunged in physical darkness? Or was he also plunged in spiritual darkness? Now, we don't know. But we do know that Bartimaeus cried out in faith for Jesus to have mercy on him. And Jesus did indeed have mercy on him. Jesus gave Bartimaeus his physical sight. Did Bartimaeus also receive spiritual sight at this moment? We don't know. But as soon as Jesus declared Bartimaeus as having his sight, going on to tell him, go on your way, we have this wonderful truth that Bartimaeus' sight was restored. He could see now. He could see everything clearly. And he must have had joy unspeakable. He must have had the greatest awe and amazement. So now that Bartimaeus could see all the grass and the trees and the people and the city of Jericho, what would he do now? Would he set off exploring the city of Jericho to see all the great sights, all the great buildings Herod the Great had built? Did he set out on a life of adventure? Of all the possibilities set before Bartimaeus now, what did he choose to do? He chose to follow Jesus. He chose to follow Jesus. Now, why did he follow Jesus? I tend to think that he followed Jesus because he loved Jesus and he wanted to learn from Jesus. He was committed to Jesus. That's what I tend to think. Although it is possible that Bartimaeus just followed along because he had a common destination. He wanted to go to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover. But I tend to think that he followed Jesus because he was a follower of Jesus now. Now, as we consider this passage here, this is the last recorded miracle that Jesus did for a man such as Bartimaeus. At least the last recorded one in Mark. But this is a powerful act of God. God showed his great power, his great mercy. Jesus, the Son of God, the incarnate Son of God, showed great compassion and power and mercy. And we can learn so much from what happened in this passage, what happened so many years ago. We can learn much from the blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And let's reflect a few moments upon what we can learn from Bartimaeus. First of all, let's reflect upon Bartimaeus' great need. Bartimaeus had the greatest of physical needs. He could not see. The world was bright with sunshine and with blue skies and colorful flowers. The people around him could see things very clearly, but Bartimaeus could see nothing. Bartimaeus was blind. That's a great need. But Bartimaeus was also a beggar. He had a great need as far as all of his material needs, food and clothing and shelter. He had great needs. He probably didn't have much besides that cloak that he wrapped around him at night, the smallest amount of money to buy his necessities. Now, we today probably can't identify all that well with Bartimaeus because we are not blind. We don't have to sit by the roadside begging. So we have difficulty identifying with Bartimaeus sometimes. Perhaps, maybe not just sometimes. We have difficulty identifying with him. We have far more to our name than Bartimaeus ever did as far as physical possessions. Mark tells us about the physical needs of this man. Did Bartimaeus also have spiritual needs that are very great? At one time he did. Did he trust in Jesus before this moment on the road? We don't know. But what's clear beyond any doubt is Bartimaeus had a great need. He had several great needs. We too have great needs, don't we? There are some sitting in this building that have great needs as far as health-wise. It may not be a need of blindness. It may be cancer. It may be heart problems. It may be some other disease. Maybe the doctors are helping. Maybe the doctors can't do anything more. Maybe there's someone here that has an even greater need than a health need. Maybe there's a man or woman here who has no hope, no confidence before God. Maybe there's someone here that doesn't have any peace with God. Maybe there's someone here that can't say, God is my friend. That's true of you today. You have a greater need than even Bartimaeus had as far as his physical blindness. So if we have a need, we must not minimize that need. We need to admit we're in trouble. We need to acknowledge we need help. And we need to know that God is the one who ultimately can help us. He's the one that provides answers to our problems, whether they're big problems or small problems. So first of all, we need to acknowledge we have a need. All of us at one time in our life came to a point where we realized we had a great spiritual need. We are separated from God. Don't deny those needs. We have to admit that we have the need. If we have other real problems, we need to admit, I have a great need. And then what must we do? We need to cry out to Jesus for his help. And that's exactly what Bartimaeus did. Yes, he knew he had nothing to offer Jesus. He had nothing to offer him for his own healing. Bartimaeus couldn't do anything for himself as far as healing himself. He knew only Jesus could make him better. It was only the power of God that could heal him. It would have to be an act of God's goodness and mercy. Now, Bartimaeus could have been very proud. He could have refused to go to Jesus for help. He could have depended on the doctors for whatever they could do to help him. He could have been stubborn in his self-reliance or his independence. But that wasn't Bartimaeus. He humbled himself before God. He humbled himself before Jesus and called out for help. He threw himself upon Jesus' mercy and grace. And I truly believe here that Bartimaeus believed that only God could help him and that God would indeed help him in Jesus. Perhaps Bartimaeus had in mind passages like Isaiah 35. We read in Isaiah 35 verses 4 and 5. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Did Bartimaeus have in his mind that only God can deliver me from my blindness? And so that's why Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus to have mercy on him, because he knew only God could help him? Or did Bartimaeus have in his mind Psalm 72 and verse 12, where we read, for he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. Bartimaeus knew God was a helper of the fatherless and those who are poor. And Bartimaeus cried out for mercy to Jesus. Are we depending on Jesus for our needs? How important it is for us to recognize, I have real needs, and then go to Jesus for help with those needs. Now, we may not be blind, but we do have real needs. We need to accept the exhortation of Hebrews chapter 4. We read in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then notice verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. Bartimaeus had a great need. He cried out to Jesus for help. We have great needs. Are we crying out to Jesus for help? Do we come boldly before the throne of grace? Do we come boldly before the Father in the name of Jesus so that we might obtain mercy? Do we cry out for Jesus whenever we're struggling? Bartimaeus had a need. He cried out for help. Others tried to silence him. They said, "Be quiet. You need to shut your mouth. Don't you realize Jesus doesn't have time for you?" But Bartimaeus was persistent. He wouldn't give up. He cried out all the more. So whenever we have a need, we cry out to Jesus for help. But what if a day or a month or a year goes by? Do we still cry out to Jesus for help if we still have that need? Or do we give up? Do we grow weary? Do we become discouraged? We need to accept the challenge of Ephesians chapter 6. We read in verse 18, Paul says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We need to pray with perseverance. We must not give up as we pray. We read in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 12, he says, you need to be continuing instant in prayer. Bartimaeus was persistent in crying out to Jesus for mercy. We today must be persistent in our prayers. As we consider Bartimaeus, he had a wonderful testimony. Think of what he did when Jesus called for him. How did Bartimaeus respond? He threw aside his cloak. He immediately went to Jesus. Now, Bartimaeus was still blind. He was still a beggar. He had little to his name. He may have had just a few coins on his cloak. But yet, he threw that aside. He left it all behind to go to Jesus. How eager are we to respond to Jesus? Bartimaeus was very eager to respond to Jesus in his need. Are we very eager to respond to Jesus? Do we devote our full energies, our full attention to Jesus whenever he calls? Or are we distracted by our possessions or by our families or by any number of other things? I'm reminded of the boy Samuel in the Old Testament. Samuel responded to the Lord's call, didn't he? We read in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 10, "The Lord came and stood and called out as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6 and verse 8, "The Lord called out, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then said I," Isaiah said, "'Here am I, send me.'" So here we have Samuel, Isaiah, responding to the Lord's call. We have Bartimaeus in his great need, responding to Jesus' call. Do we respond to Jesus' call, or are we distracted by the things of this earth? Jesus called Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus came to Jesus. And Jesus healed Bartimaeus because Bartimaeus was trusting in him. Bartimaeus trusted in Jesus' goodness, his power, his mercy, his wisdom. Bartimaeus had faith. Do we have faith? Are we trusting in Jesus? Are we trusting in God? It's by faith that the blind beggar Bartimaeus received his sight. It's by faith that Bartimaeus received spiritual sight whenever he trusted in Jesus. And I truly do believe that Bartimaeus trusted in Jesus for his spiritual salvation. We today must trust Jesus. We need to trust Jesus first and foremost for salvation from our sins. If we don't trust in Jesus for the salvation from our sins, then we forever will be separated from God. That's our greatest, our deepest need, is to trust in Jesus for our own soul. We need to trust in Jesus as well for all of our other needs. We need to trust Jesus every day. How true are the words of Hebrews 11 and verse 6? But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We need to come to God in faith every day. We read this in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We must come to the Lord in faith. So here's Bartimaeus. He had a great need. He cried out to Jesus for mercy. People told him, be quiet. Bartimaeus persisted. He cried all the more. Jesus called him. Bartimaeus responded. Bartimaeus trusted in Jesus. His sight was restored. And Bartimaeus then followed Jesus. I believe Jesus gained a follower at that point in time. Someone who wanted to learn of him. Somebody who wanted to live for him. Now, we think not too long ago in Mark chapter 10, there's a rich man that came to Jesus. And that rich man asked Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And as Jesus talked with this rich man, he eventually said, you need to sell everything you have, you need to give it to the poor, and then you need to come follow me. And what did that rich man do? He turned away discouraged. He was unwilling to follow Jesus. He was unwilling to give up all of his possessions. He loved the things of this earth far more than he loved Jesus. So this happened not too long ago. And now here's Bartimaeus. He was very poor. He had little to his name. But Bartimaeus was willing to give everything up. I truly believe Bartimaeus was willing to do this, to give everything up and follow Jesus. I think Bartimaeus was willing to surrender his own self to know Jesus. Are we willing today to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses, to follow Jesus? Are we willing to leave everything behind for our Savior? Are we like the believers in Macedonia? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8:5 about the believers in Macedonia. They first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to us by the will of God. Are we willing to give everything to the Lord? Are we that type of follower? Today, as we contemplate Bartimaeus, as we read the wonderful account of how he received his sight, we praise God for his wonderful mercy. Jesus showed great mercy to this blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And we praise God for the kindness that Jesus showed him. We're so thankful for the lessons that we learn from Bartimaeus. So today, let us recognize our needs. Let's cry out to Jesus for mercy. Let's be persistent in the face of opposition. Let's always trust in Jesus. And may we follow Jesus no matter what. Truly, we are thankful for all that God did for Bartimaeus. We're thankful for what we have learned from him today. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to follow you faithfully. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Bartimaeus. We thank you for Jesus. We can't even imagine the need that Bartimaeus had, how he saw nothing for days and days, years after years, because he was blind. He was a beggar. But yet he cried out to Jesus for mercy. And he persistently cried out for mercy. And Jesus responded. And Jesus, because of Bartimaeus' faith, healed him. And then Bartimaeus followed him. We thank you today for all we have learned from Bartimaeus and from Jesus. And help us today to follow Bartimaeus' example, recognizing our needs, going to you and to Jesus for mercy, for help. That we'd be persistent in prayer. That every day, every moment, we'd be living in faith, trusting you to provide for us. Trusting you through the hard times as well as the good times. And help us, Lord, to be followers of you and of Jesus. So we thank you for all you've taught us today. We praise you for your grace and your mercy. We pray these things in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.